Amen, amen. Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you this morning. I hope this has been a good week. Even as Jeremy invited us to share how God has been working in our lives, I hope that you've just been overwhelmed by God's grace this week. How many of you like watching magicians and different tricks? I am amazed at the things people do, whether it's Chris Angel or somebody did stuff, or David Copperfield who walked through the wall of China, and I still don't know how they did it, and you can show me how they did it, but I don't know. They're just a different sort. And then I've been seeing on my Instagram feed different people doing card tricks, and card tricks are amazing. There was one show I watched, it was with Penn and Teller, and they're super magicians, and you've got to try and fool them. And so this guy had Penn signed his name on the Ace of Hearts. And so then he put it back in his deck and he's talking and doing things. And by the end of a show, he gets a brand new deck of cards that is wrapped in plastic that the seal is still on. And he hands it to Penn and he says, "Now open that up." And he takes the plastic off and opens it up and he says, "Pull out the Ace of Hearts." And he pulls out the Ace of Hearts out of a brand new deck and there is his signature on that card. And I'm like, what just happened? And so there's this other guy on Instagram. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it just does amazing card tricks. And he takes bets from people, if you will. And someone's like, roll the dice, and that's how many times you have to shuffle the cards, and then deal out that number of cards, and that number should be build yourself a royal flush. And so he does that. He puts a blindfold on. He rolls a 5. He shuffles the cards 5 times. He deals out 4 cards, turns over the 5th card, 10 of hearts. And keeps doing that to the jack, queen, and king. And then he takes his blindfold off and says, "You're probably wondering where the ace of hearts is." And he just holds the deck up and just kind of like shuffles them, shooting down, and just goes, "Here it is right here." And I'm going, what on earth just happened? And so I've come to a conclusion. There's only one way all these people can do tricks like this. They have made a deal with the devil. And they are demon. I don't know. There's something that is just not humanly possible that they're doing, and I can't understand it. And so that's the only way. The reality is, we laugh and joke about spiritual things, maybe because we don't know enough about it, but we make it comical. Oh, there's a little angel or a little demon on my shoulder. Or people jokingly will say, "The devil made me do it," and we make fun of the spiritual world. But have you ever considered the reality of the spiritual world? Because there really is a spiritual world going on. There are things taking place that we just don't see, and the Bible is very clear to teach about those things. And so Paul, as we're going through Ephesians, he's going to kind of bring this topic up, especially in chapter 6 here. But he's been doing this throughout the whole book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, we read about Jesus being seated in heaven, far above all rule and authority and power. These words again. Chapter 2, he mentions that to follow the world is to follow the prince of the power of the air, which is namely the devil. And then chapter 3, verse 10, he says, the purpose of the church is to make known the full wisdom of God to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Throughout the book of Ephesians, Paul has been talking about these rulers and powers and authorities in the heavenly places. And so we come to a passage like this today, where we're going to talk about the armor of God. And we want to focus, a lot of times we just run into the armor of God, like, oh, let's talk about this. But before we get into that, I thought it was important to talk about what are these rulers and powers and authorities and cosmic forces that Paul keeps mentioning? And why is it so important to understand that in terms of understanding what the Bible says about putting on the armor of God? And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about angels and demons and God a little bit. And as much as there's power in those things, the big picture is this, that God has the ultimate power. Amen. And we'll get to that conclusion. But here's what I would tell you, church. If we're not paying attention to what's taking place, it's easy to get lost. If you're not paying attention to what's going on, it's easy to get lost in things. And so with that, we're going to read just a few verses for today and just springboard off of that. If you wouldn't mind standing with me as we read from God's Word. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 10 through 12, and this is God's Word for this morning. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word because it doesn't shy away from the realities of things. Lord, in our world today, and even in Paul's world 2,000 years ago, and the Israelites' world thousands and thousands of years ago, there's more going on than just what's happening with humanity on earth. And so, Lord, as we talk about these things and try to understand what Paul is talking about with these forces, Lord, enlighten us. Open our eyes to see what's really taking place. But God, more than anything, confirm in our hearts and our minds the greatness and the power of who you are. So, Lord, lead us through this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. I promise I'm not trying to give you a sensationalist sermon. I'm not trying to ooh or wow, but just let's talk about the reality of some things. And the first thing is this. There is a spiritual battle happening now. There's a spiritual battle happening right now. And Paul tells the church, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Amen? Our battle's not against people. It's not against them. It's not against commies. It's not against Democrats. It's not against Republicans. It's not against conservatives. It's not against liberals. It's not against LGBTQ. It's not against any of those things. God loves his people, the people he's created. And he calls us to love people the way he loves people. Our battle is not against people. It's not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers and the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Understand, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but what Paul is saying is there is a battle and it is against these forces. It's not people. There's a bigger picture that's going on. And this is nothing new because I want you to know the spiritual battle has been going on since the beginning. Sometimes we just don't see it. And I would liken it to this. Do you know every day is a sunny day? It is. Every day is a sunny day. And you're like, no way, Pastor. Just in winter, we had like 5 days of rain. It was clouds and an overcast morning. And no, I get it. You're right. But once you go above the clouds and rain, what's there? The sun. You just can't see it because things are in the way right now. But is it still a sunny day? It is somewhere. It's not for us sometimes. The sun's breaking out for us. Yesterday, my parents took my wife and I on a hot air balloon trip down to Temecula. And it was just misty and overcast and everything. We're going through there and then we're going up and you get into the clouds and you can barely see your hand in front of you. It's so thick. And then all of a sudden it's like, poof, and there's the sun rising over the mountains. You never would have saw that on the ground. But when you get above the covering, there is the reality that it is a sunny day. The reality for us, church, is there is a spiritual battle that has been going on since the beginning of time. Sometimes we just don't see it, and that's okay, but we need to recognize that. So when we're looking at different stories, I can look at different stories, but I want you to see in the book of Daniel, Daniel has a vision about things, and he's stressed about it, and so he's praying to God about it for 3 weeks, and finally an angel comes to him, and this is what it says. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understands the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. And I kind of love that, how we just talked about, he knows my name, he knows my every thought, he hears the words that I say. God hears your prayers, amen? Daniel was praying, God heard his prayers. And he says, from the minute you started praying, we heard your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. The prince of the king of Persia withheld me for 21 days, and I was stumped until Michael, the chief prince, arrived to help. There's something bigger going on for Daniel than just what's happening while Israel is exiled in Babylon. There's a battle going on in the spiritual places. And what we're talking about in some of these things, the prince of Persia is probably talking about an evil power or an authority of that region that held sway over people and over governments and led them astray. And then you have Michael, which is one of the chief princes, who's referring to an order of angels. We would call that an archangel, oftentimes. And so you have Michael as an archangel, one of the top ranking angels, and you have these powers that are over the region, and you have this fighting going on. Daniel didn't see any battles happening. You and I often don't see any battles happening, but they're happening. And there are angels and demons fighting, and there are evil forces that oversee different regions, and there's fighting going on. Even later on, this angel tells Daniel, after I fight the prince of Persia, I have to fight a prince of Greece. And then as you read through the Bible, you'll find out that Michael, the archangel Michael, he's charged with watching over God's people. And it's like, that is awesome. Like, they just have, there's just different powers. And so, who or what are these forces that we're talking about? The rulers and authorities and cosmic powers. We're talking about God. We're talking about the devil. We're talking about demons, and we're talking about angels. And it was interesting. I was speaking with Brandon last week. His Tuesday night men's Bible study and his Wednesday night small group, they've been going through Revelation. And even this last week, they went through chapter 12. And chapter 12 talks about the fall of Satan and a third of the angels with him. And so, big picture, the bigger picture of what's going on, there's more than just people. There's spiritual things that are happening around us. And so it's good for us to think about that. And I think when we think about demons, it's best to think of them as fallen angels. And as I was reading a commentary earlier on as we were studying for Ephesians, someone mentioned, and I really liked the way he termed it, that there's angels, there's either faithful angels or there's fallen angels. And so a third of the angels fell with Satan or were cast out of heaven with Satan. And these are the ones that we would refer to as demons. And so that's kind of who and what we're talking about as we read through the Bible. And sometimes when we talk about the prince of Persia or a chief prince, as with the army, I think the angelic forces and the evil forces have different rankings. Just as in the army you have generals and captains and privates and lieutenants and so on, so it is with angels and who they are. Michael being a chief prince, being prince of Persia or prince of Greece, and they have people underneath him. Even Jesus experienced this, remember, in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And so the devil is this reality. Jesus consistently taught about the reality of the devil. And he did things. So as Paul lived with a worldview that there's a spiritual battle and spiritual things happening around us that we don't see, it would do us well. I think Paul reminds us that we should take that view as well. And so that's kind of the first point, is there's a spiritual battle happening right now. Second thing I want you to see is that the wicked powers want to undermine God. They want to undermine God and everything that he's trying to do. And we talked about the wicked powers, what Paul mentioned, but their purpose, as much as they can, is to undermine God's plan and his rule and his authority. And they'll do everything they can to turn people away from the truth of God. And this is when we talk about the devil. This is what has been taught about the devil. 1 John 3:8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. It's who he is. It's his character. It's his nature. And John chapter 8, Jesus teaches this. You are of the father, your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. What do we learn about the devil there? He's a sinner. He's a liar. He's a murderer from the beginning, and he hasn't changed his ways. Make sense? Everyone with me so far? And so he does everything he can to blaspheme and to tear down God's truth and to keep people from getting to God. And so I would say that the devil is intent on disrupting God's plans and will. And you see that at the beginning of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God created everything and everything was good. God created everything and everything was good. And then the snake kind of slithers in, the devil slithers in as a snake and uproots all that. Did God really say this? That's not what he means. And he spoke lies and he deceived Adam and Eve into choosing disobedience. And he hasn't stopped doing that since then. Remember the TV show The Mole? Did anyone watch that? It was a fun TV show. It was one of those reality TV shows. I never got into Survivor because I thought you had to survive on an island, but they were like winning sandwiches and everything. I'm like, that's not surviving. But The Mole was great. You had a group of people and they all got this bag. And throughout the show, they had to perform different tasks as a group. And for every task that they completed, a certain amount of money was added to the grand prize money pot. But the ones that they didn't get, money was taken away. Or if they broke rules, things were taken away. And so everyone's doing their hardest to try and earn as much money because they want to be the last player. They want to get the biggest grand prize. Except for one person. One person is the mole. And his or her whole objective is to undermine the group and keep them from winning as much money as they can. It was a brilliant show. It was great. And I remember the first one watching it. And then at the end of each episode, people are taking a multiple choice quiz to who they think the mole is. And the person with the least amount of points gets kicked off. And so you whittle it down. But you have this mole that is trying to undermine the whole group of winning as much money as they can the whole time. And sometimes he'll do good and he'll accomplish the task so that you get money. And other times he'll be like, I just slipped. I couldn't hold on to that grip or whatever. But he was intentionally trying to undermine the group. The devil on earth is a mole. And his purpose is to undermine God's plans and purposes. And he will do that by deceiving you and tricking you and keeping you from getting to the life God really has planned for you. That's his purpose. And that's what he wants to do. If you remember when Jesus was with his disciples in Mark 8 and he told them, look, the Son of Man has to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be handed over to the Jews and they're going to take my life. And Peter's like, no, Jesus. And he pulled him aside and rebuked him. And do you remember what Jesus said to him? Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the plans of God, but the plans of man. Satan, at every turn, wants to undermine what God is trying to do. He wants to undermine you finding the freedom and love and hope and joy that is found through faith in Christ. And he'll keep you from doing that. And understand this, you and I are just collateral damage. The devil doesn't really care about us. He cares about beating God. And he wants to tear him down and he wants to undermine his purposes. And the best way for him to do that is to keep us from finding the truth in who God is. And so he does whatever he can to keep us from that. But at the end of the day, he cares nothing about you. He just wants to win against God. And that's his plan. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus taught two parables, the parable of the sower and the parable of the weeds. In both parables, Satan is the devil, is seen opposing God. In the parable of the sower, the farmer goes out and sows seed, and then the devil has ravens come or have weeds come up that keep the seed from growing to its full potential and choke it out. In the parable of the weeds, the farmer goes out and sows in his field, and then at night, the devil comes in and sows weeds in there to ruin the crop, and so that there would be no crop at all. And the farmer says, nope. Just let everything grow up. We'll take care of the weeds at the end and we'll save the wheat at the end. But the devil is doing everything he can to undermine the plan of God. Understand this. And so when Paul says, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities and authorities and cosmic powers in the heavenly places, he's talking about the devil trying to undermine what God is doing. And here's the scary thing about that point number three, is the spiritual forces of evil have power. You need to understand this. It's not a weak force that we're up against. It's probably one of the more frightening aspects of the spiritual battle. While we acknowledge the Lord's power and strength, and we'll talk about that in a minute, it's crucial for us to recognize that the evil powers have power as well. That's why they're called powers and authorities and forces. They have sway over things. So we've talked about how the devil tries to undermine God. Paul earlier in Ephesians refers to the devil as the prince of the air. In the Gospel of John, Jesus refers to the devil as the prince of this world at least three different times. And so I looked up a definition. I'll put it up on the screen. And what does that mean? The phrase God of this world or God of this age indicates that Satan is the major influence on the ideals, opinions, goals, hopes, and views of the majority of people. His influence also encompasses the world's philosophies, education, and commerce. The thoughts, ideas, speculations, and false religions of the world are under his control and have sprung from his lies and deceptions. And you think, Pastor, there's no way that the devil has that much leeway and power. And I want to remind you of this. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, at one point he brings him up on top of the temple and he says, Jesus, bow down and worship me and I will give you all these kingdoms. What Jesus doesn't say is, who are you kidding, devil? You don't have authority over all these nations. He doesn't say that. He says, the word of God says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I'll never serve you. While he's here, the devil has some reign. He has some power. He has some authority. And really what this is talking about in that definition is talking about the power and authority and sway over unbelieving people. And I think you're seeing that come to fruit in our time. And I think every culture and society has seen the devil get his influences in to turn people away from God's truth. But more and more, there are things popping up to keep people from God's truth. And even in the church, there are things that he's got in. There's a thing called deconstruction, which I think is terrible and is leading people away from the truth of God. And he's weaved his lies in there to get us to focus on ourselves and our needs. And I'm going to put myself on the throne of my life and take care of what I want. And I don't need God to help me. I'm the bigger picture. You're not the bigger picture. You're not the bigger picture. And here's what it says. We're talking about the devil's sway over people. It's really talking about unbelievers. But in Matthew 12, Jesus says this, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so this is my my challenge for you wherever you're at in your life and understanding faith. If you are not actively choosing to be on God's side, you are choosing to be on the side of the devil because he has influence over you. And so it's this or it's that. There's not another option. In the spiritual battle, there's the forces of God and the forces of evil. And which one are you going to serve? And second, I would say the devil has power over people. Time and time again in the Gospels, when Jesus healed people, how did he heal people? He cast out demons. Interesting. That the fallen angels or demons have the ability to inflict pain and disease and sickness onto people. Not just, there are some people that were sick and Jesus cast out a demon to heal them, but not everybody. I don't think every sickness is caused by demon oppression. Does that make sense? I don't believe that at all, and for several reasons. There is one person that was born blind and Jesus made some mud on the ground with his spit and put it on his eyes and told him to wash in the pool of Siloam, and then he could see again. He never cast out a demon for him to see again. When the four friends lowered their paralytic friend through the roof to Jesus in the whole crowded house, Jesus didn't cast out a demon to heal him. He saw the crowd and their disbelief, and he said, so you know that the Son of Man has forgiveness, has the power to forgive sins. Take up your mat and walk. And the guy stood up and walked. There was no casting out of a demon. Not every physical ailment is caused by a demon. Not every mental ailment is caused by a demon. But if demons could afflict people back in Jesus' time, can they still do it today? You bet. You bet. And I want to be very careful. I do not have the radar that tells me which ones are afflicted by demons or not. That's not what I'm saying. And I don't want us to start saying, oh, people that have this are demon-possessed. I don't know, but I know this. The way that I started praying for people now is I start praying not only for their physical help through what the doctors can do, but God, if there is something else that's going on that is afflicting this person, I pray that you cast it away in your power. I don't know, but it happened back in Jesus' day, and so God, I think both avenues are good. I think sometimes we just look at how do we heal people through physical means, and which is good, and I think science is good and medication is good, but we also need to look at the fact that there are spiritual things going on, there are spiritual afflictions that happen to people, and we need God to do some breakthrough. Amen? We did our mission trip to Africa this last summer. And there was an encounter with a young lady that, I don't know if you want to call her oppressed or possessed, but it took the pastors there a couple days and several hours of prayer and people just praying around and working through this and seeing her finally gain freedom. Our leader came back from Africa and he was being tormented in his nightmares by the same dream. And he was afraid to go to sleep because he couldn't stand what was going on. It was the same demon coming after him. And so he talked to the pastors back in Africa and they said, we know this demon. We know him by name. He's a high-ranking demon. You're under affliction. Get people praying for you. And so, not super sensationalizing things, but church, I'm telling you this, there's a bigger picture going on than just what's happening to us with what we can see. There are spiritual battles taking place. There are evil forces that want to undermine God, and they have power to do things. The good news is this, point number four, and Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Although the evil forces might have power, point four is this, that God has the ultimate power. Amen? He has the ultimate power. And that's the thing that we need to grasp when we talk about the spiritual battle. It's not what these forces can do. It's what God has already done and is continuing to do. God has already defeated them. He's already crushed Satan under his foot. He's already won the battle. And Paul has taught us about God's power all throughout Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, 19 and 20. That you would know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power. Immeasurable greatness of his power. You can't measure it by size or anything or just pure power. It's bigger than what we can fully comprehend. The immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Amen. And seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 3, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church forever. Amen. To him who could do far more than you can possibly think of what he can do. Him who has immeasurable power. None of these other cosmic forces and stuff have immeasurable power. They have power that is on a leash that God allows, but when he wants to stop it, he stops it. They have to obey the power of God. He is the ultimate power and the ultimate authority. No questions asked. I read a story this week because the battle's still raging on. The soldier's name was Hiro Onoda, was a Japanese soldier, and he's deployed to the Philippines during World War II. And maybe you've read about him or heard him. True story. After the war was over, he continued to fight in the Philippines. He would not recognize that Japan surrendered because Japan would never surrender. That's dishonorable to surrender. And we would never do that. We would never quit. And even though people came to him with newspaper clippings and pictures and showed the Japanese officials surrendering, he refused to believe it. And so after World War II ended, this soldier fought for another 10,000 days in the Philippines. 30 more years he fought for a war that was already over. The devil has power, but he's fighting a war that is already over. Amen. That is what the cross and the empty tomb are all about. God has the ultimate power. And I love in Mark chapter 1, while Jesus is teaching in a church in a synagogue, a man comes in with an unclean spirit and starts talking about him. And Jesus looks at the man and says, "Stop talking, get out of him." And the man shook and the demon was gone. There were no negotiations. There was no bartering. There's no "let's come to a middle ground," Jesus. The minute Jesus told the demon what to do, he's done. The demons have to obey what Jesus says, period. Amen? And that is ultimate power. And that is the power of our God. Do the evil forces have power? Sure they do, but it's on a leash and it's limited. But God has unlimited power. And in the cross, he frees us from everything. And that is the beautiful thing. The victory that God has is secured through the cross and the empty grave. And that's where our eyes need to be. Not trying to find out, God, where are the angels and demons fighting? Let that take care of itself. But church, if we're going to really excel and succeed in what God has for us, we need to look to the cross and the empty tomb, because it's there where the power and love of God is displayed for all. Amen. It's there where he invites us to be a part of his family. It's there where he casts off doubt. It's there that we're filled with hope and love and joy. It's there that we can stand strong in his might and his strength. And so when you feel overwhelmed or pressured or tempted to despair, I want you to remember that the God we worship is strong and mighty, and he has the ultimate power. Amen. And that's what Paul says. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. And then he says, you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. James says much the same thing. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We don't even have to fight. We just have to stand in God's strength. We just have to resist because God has already won and he has the ultimate power. Amen. And church, this is what I encourage you to do. Next week, we're going to talk about, in light of this, in light of these cosmic forces, we are encouraged to put on the full armor of God. And Pastor Brandon is going to talk about what is that armor of God and how do we put it on so that we're equipped for what God has for us. And so hopefully you'll be back for that. But I want to close with this, and the band can come on up as we do this. This is the challenge I want you to see. The way that we stand firm in God and his word, and we talk about abiding and remaining in Jesus, is abiding in his word and sitting in his word. The book of Ephesians has 6 chapters. And so before next Sunday comes, this is what I challenge each and every one of us to do. On Monday, I want you to read chapter 1 of Ephesians several times. Read it a couple times in the morning. Read it at lunchtime. Read it at night again. Immerse yourself in God's word. Pray through it. And God, what are you trying to show me? How can I be strengthened in you through what I'm reading in this chapter? Tuesday, do the same thing with chapter 2. Wednesday, do chapter 3. Thursday, chapter 4. Friday, chapter 5. Saturday, do chapter 6. And then Sunday, come in prepared for what we have. I'm going to talk about putting on God's word. Amen. Stand firm in the strength of the Lord. He has already overcome, and he has won the battle. And so as we wrap this up, that's really what we talk about when we come to the communion table. The bread and the juice don't only remind us of forgiveness, they remind us of God's ultimate power. That the chains and shackles of sin that were meant to hold us down and keep us from getting to God, He has shattered those. And that He has set us free to live in Him. Amen? And so as you come to the communion tables this morning, find joy in that. Give God thanks that He has done that. Thank Him for the power He gives you as you stand firm in His strength. I'm going to say a prayer. After that, the tables will be open. We have a table up here and in the back there. We'll have some elders to pray with you. And then we'll sing some worship with you. Let's pray together. Lord God, You are an amazing God. Sometimes I forget about Your power. Sometimes I think that it's about me and what I can accomplish. And yet, God, Your invitation to each and every one of us is to be strong in Your strength and might, not ours. To rest in You and to abide in You. Because, God, You have the ultimate power. You've already won the battle and won the war. You have already set us free to live in Your truth, be filled with hope and joy. And so, God, I pray that we do that even this week, that we are reminded at every turn the freedom that we have in You because of Your power and victory. And then, Lord, as we go out from this place, help us to stay grounded in You, to stand firm in You, and to be strong in You, but help us to also share this good news with people that need to hear it as well. Lord, as we come to this table, we thank You for the freedom You have purchased for us and the victory we have in You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.